We are going to be doing a teaching today called Nothing Shall Harm You. And how many know that Jesus himself said that? And how many know we've seen a lot of hurt people who are Christians, right? So it's like, Lord, how could you say that? And then it doesn't seem to be happening all the time. And then we can even look in the Bible, right? We see, you know, Paul has some things happen to him and different ones have things happen to them. And I would say they were kind of harmful. And so sometimes some of these things don't seem to make sense. And so we're going to really look at how to walk in divine protection and divine provision and how to get in that place with God. And let's just believe for the Holy Spirit to come in this place. He's already here, but in a powerful way to show you. He's got to show you where you're missing him, okay? And every person's going to see something a little different, and God's going to draw them a little closer. God wants you guys to be protected. He wants you to feel protected. He wants you to know that he's got your back and your front and everything else. He's got you covered. He's going to take care of you. So let's first see exactly what was Jesus talking about when he said that. He only says it one time in scriptures, and it's in Luke 10. So let's start at Luke 10, 1. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place, even to where he was about to come. Now I read out the literal translation, so sometimes it's a little different, but I personally like to read what he said and not what other people interpreted him to say. So I decided to get a literal translation. I really like this literal one. So it said, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, even to where he was about to come. So Jesus was having a pretty big following by now. I mean, his church was growing, right? He went from everyone knows he had the 12, three hung out really closely. Then there were 12 he told a lot to and trained up. And then he had, these are 70, you know, he has 70 that he was actually discipling and teaching to go out and to bring the kingdom of God to the earth, to reveal Christ on the earth. He said, therefore, he said to them, so Jesus said to them, the harvest is much, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send out workers into his harvest. And I just want to say this, if the Lord said that 2,000 years ago, how many know it's much more true today? I mean, it's powerfully true today. You need to make this part of your prayer life. You need to pray. If the Lord has something that he cares about so much that he says, pray this, don't you think we should honor our Lord enough to pray that? Amen? So really begin to include that, not as a ritual, but ask God to have a heart for souls to be saved, have a heart for laborers to be produced. The Lord showed me a long time ago, what you're doing at BFA is you're producing laborers for the field. You're producing, you're discipling people to go and bring souls to the kingdom, to bring healing, deliverance, reveal Christ, to preach and to teach. And truthfully, if you come to this church on a regular, you're actually a student in Bible school, whether you signed up or not. That's how I minister. That's how God has me ministering, because he put in my heart a long time ago, I want you to produce laborers for the field. He goes, I could send you out more and you could make an impact, but I've anointed you and I'm maturing you so that you can send out many. Because how many knows if we can send out 70 people empowered by the Holy Spirit, knowing the word of God with the heart of God, that will do a lot more than if I choose just to go out, if that's what he's called me to. Amen? So it's really important to find out what has he called you to. But remember, there's got to be some laborers who are actually going out. And that's not a less thing than those who he calls to raise up laborers. It's not a less thing to be the laborer. Amen? Or to be a combination of both. So he said to them, it's very important that he said this to them. That's going to be key to divine protection. He said, indeed, the harvest is much, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send out workers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now here's instructions to them. This is what he's telling them. Do not carry a purse, a money bag, nor sandals, and greet no one as you go on the way. And to whatever house you enter, say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is truly there, your peace shall rest on it. And if not, it shall return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking the things shared by them. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Do not move from house to house. And in whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat the things set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. But in whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, going out into the streets, say, even the dust clinging to us is out of your city. We shake it off against you. Yet know this, that the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. And I say to you that it shall be more bearable for Sodom in that day than for that city. Then he says, woe to the Chorazins, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the works of power which have been occurring in you had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It will be more bearable for those cities in the judgment than it will be for you. And you, Capernaum, were you not exalted to the heaven, to hell will you be thrust down. The ones hearing you hears me. Wow. How many always get this sweet little picture of Jesus? Here's Jesus saying, you know what? It's going to, those people who don't receive what I send you to give them, I want you to shake your feet and let the dust fall. And those cities that basically are going to be sent to hell. That's Jesus talking. I think we need to see who he really is. He's an awesome God. He sits there and little kids come and jump on his lap. But when he sends people and they represent him and they have his heart and they have his power and he has sent them with his message and they're obedient to that and they don't receive, there's judgment that's coming on that place. That's another conference. Okay. He says, the ones hearing you, verse 10:16, the ones hearing you hear me, and the ones rejecting you reject me. And the one rejecting me rejects the one having sent me, which would be the Father. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling out of heaven as lightning. Behold, I have given you the authority to tread on snakes, scorpions, and on all the power of the hostile one. And nothing shall hurt you, no, never. Stop rejoicing in this. But stop rejoicing in this. That the evil spirits submit to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This will encourage some people. In the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the sophisticated, the cunning, and revealed them to the babes. Yes, Father, because it was pleasing before you. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who is the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son may desire to reveal him. Wow. Man, you could just go all day just reading what Jesus said, amen? But I'm going to try to stay a little focused. Y'all are laughing. Okay, so what is Jesus saying here? So that scripture is talking about what? Is talking about men and women who have yielded their lives to the Lord to serve him. It's talking about men and women who have chosen to take the message of the gospel to people who don't know Christ. And some of the things you'll see in their divine protection was that they were sent by Jesus, that he told them exactly what to do and how to do it. And it doesn't mean everybody has to do it that way. You'll see the disciples go places later and they're not necessarily following this protocol. This isn't a formula like, oh, on the mission field, we have to go and stay at somebody's house and we have to find the house where they know the Lord and there's peace in that house. And then we'll bless that house with our peace, connecting with their peace, and we'll eat with them and we'll just have this great time. That can happen and it's an awesome way for it to happen. But how many know God can anoint and bless those that he sends to stay in the Sheridan? Amen? So the key here was Jesus gave them specific instructions. Jesus gave them specific instructions, and these instructions, if they would obey him and do what he told them, they would have the authority that went with him sending them. Okay? So their authority came because he sent them. And they would walk in that authority as long as they what? Obeyed him. Now they went out, did what he said. Some places received him, some places didn't. Some demons must have tried to attack him, right? What happened when the demons tried to attack him? The demons had to submit to them and couldn't hurt him. And they were very happy about that, weren't they? It is a happy thing when the demons don't beat you up. Amen. But there is another little understanding there that you're going to actually come face to face with some demons in people. Okay. So to this divine protection he's talking about here, a lot of this protection was what? Against demonic spirits. You're going to be protected against demonic spirits and people when you do what God has you to do, when you're obeying God, when you're hearing God, and when you're walking with God. Isn't that good? How many know that people who are demonized are doing a lot of these horrific crimes? How many know that God is saying for those who obey him, walk with him, do what he shows them to do, and has a heart for salvation, has a heart for people to get saved, has a heart for the lost, that those people walking in that heart for the lost who are willing to obey God, hear God, and walk with God, those demons can't touch them. I believe those demons couldn't touch him when they were going to get some food either, right? It wasn't just like we're in the right in the midst of battle, but because they were doing what the Lord sent them to do and they were obeying him. And in that sending, really in that sending, the Lord is really the master, right? The Lord is really, he is the master. You are just my representatives. And I think part of us to really walk in divine protection, we need to humble ourselves and get away from some of the teaching, to be honest with you, that makes us think more of ourselves than we ought. When I go to do something, I need to have the humility and the revelation and the reality that it's not about me that demons are afraid. Okay? It's about who has sent me and who lives in me now, because this is before Holy Spirit lived in these guys, so the angels went with the people. The angels went with the people when the people went and did what the Lord wants. You know, it's the angels that are going to be doing the spiritual warfare. They do the actual warfare. We just, being obedient to the Lord and hearing the Lord, release them on our behalf. Amen? So when we do what he says to do, then we walk in that protection. And I'll just give an example here in day-to-day life. Years and years ago, this is way back, this was maybe 17 years ago, maybe even 18 or 19 years ago, pretty long ago. I didn't know near what I know near about the Word of God. I didn't know near, didn't have near the depth of a relationship with the Lord that I have now. I wasn't moving near in the power in those things as I am now. But that's cool, because it's not about how long, it's not like you build up to a place of divine protection, amen? It's a revelation that you have to receive, and your choice to have his heart, to care about souls, to obey him and to hear him and to do what he says. And so I was shopping, and it was kind of funny what happened. I was actually in the store, the same store, which was in a bad part of town, and I was trying to save money. So I went to the bad part of town, because this particular grocery store, I won't use its name, it's not there anymore, was a store that was about bag your own groceries, all this stuff, and you save money. So I went there to shop, and I'll never forget the first time, one of the times I went in there, this crazy woman, this woman really demon possessed, like she was out of her mind, was running throughout the store just talking to herself and screaming. And she came up to me and she grabbed my hands and she was just like, and talking to me and looking at me like this, and it really scared me. You know, it just like, just really scared me. And I just didn't say a word and she ran off. And so I went to do a Bible study that morning. The following week I had a Bible study, and I was sharing at the Bible study how I had missed an opportunity to share Christ, and I was too afraid, and I had some money on me, and I didn't want this woman to get my money, and how I thought more about the money and than I did about this woman's soul, and I was crying and all this. I said, and Lord, if I ever have another opportunity, Lord, I just want to be able to share you and really help people get free. That is just a dangerous prayer to pray to God. So the very, I don't know if it was directly after that Bible study. It may have been, I think the Bible study was during the morning. So on my way home from that Bible study, I decided to go get groceries again. And this time I'm praying in tongues, literally the whole time, not like a ritual. It just really was flowing from me as I was grocery shopping. I'm just walking through and just full of the joy of the Lord, just really filled up in God and just praying in tongues and not loud and obnoxiously, but you know, quiet and obnoxiously, but not just, you know, like, long to come, buddy, you have to get up, see, kid, buddy, I know, and just really filling up with the joy of the Lord. So when I get in the parking lot, this man who, honest to goodness, looked like a Charles Manson kind of, just really demonized, just really scary guy. He was out in the parking lot, and he was kind of just walking around, and he walks over to me, and he grabs the end of my cart. And I'm just full of the Holy Spirit because I've been praying in tongues for, you know, half hour to an hour. I had a lot of groceries back then. I had all the kids at home, and I'd buy, you know, a whole pack of groceries. And so he grabs my cart, and he says, let me help you with those. Well, I had just saw a special on, back then I had a minivan, that never opened your side doors to minivan because there was a thing going around, especially back then, where they'd push you in and then whatever and rob you and whatever to steal your car. So I know I'm not opening my side doors for this guy, but I don't want his help anyway. So he was very scary looking. You could tell he was messed up and high. And so he said, let me help you with those groceries. And I looked at him and I said, no, that's fine. I can handle it myself. And then he goes, oh, so you're scared of me. Not a normal conversation to be having in a parking lot with a guy who looks like he's insane. So, and normally I would have thought, yes, I'm very scared of you. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just filled me up. And I looked at him and said, I'm not scared of anybody. And he goes, ooh, what you packing? I think he's talking like gun numbers or something. And I said, I think he even said a gun number. He said, oh, what you packing? And he said some gun number. I'm not a gun person, so I didn't know what he's talking about. And I just said, oh, no, no, no. I got something. And this, I honestly said, oh, no, I got something so much more powerful than that. He goes, lady, what have you got? I said, I've got Jesus. He said, ah, Jesus. I talk about my Jesus like that. And I went on to tell him about my daughter dying, and he burst out crying. And he said, I want Jesus. He said, I'm supposed to get your money. These two thugs are going to kill me if I don't have some money. And I said, so we cast the spirit of crack out of him. He got saved. He was weeping. And no kidding, two big thugs grabbed him. I didn't know. They had blocked me in. I didn't even know it. They had blocked my car in. And he was walking away. They grabbed him and threw him into their van and took off. Well, I got in my car. I prayed like a maniac. I mean, I was shaking. I was jerking. I was hitting the ceiling on the car. I prayed like a maniac. And I believe to this day it saved his life. I believe to this day it saved his life. Now, I don't know if he went on with the Lord. I don't know. I didn't have a church or anything back then for him to ever show up at and say anything to. But I know that I know God did something powerful. Amen? And I most of you who've at least been to BFA for any length of time or been in the deeper prophetic teachings have more revelation about Jesus and the heart of God and the power of God than I had at all back then. But the obedience was to have a heart for what? Souls. He's convicting me again right now. Amen. A heart for souls. And I even said, Lord, if it ever happens again, I'm going to care about their soul and witness for you. Now, don't try to make this stuff happen, okay? Just walk your life obedient to God, praying and talking to God and giving him your heart. And he'll take care of plenty of learning experiences. Okay, he takes care of it. I've had way more testimony than I could write a couple books. I already wrote one, and got tons of testimony since that. I was like, Lord, I don't need any other adventure. But I need my faith increase, and I need to know how much I can trust in the Lord, and I need to be able to have confidence in who he is. Amen? And so I just say this to say, I didn't even connect it to this, but truthfully, my heart when I went there was, Lord, if it ever happens again, I'm going to witness, and I'm going to care about souls. I mean, he didn't even give me a week. You know, I prayed it. I think it was the next week we were back at the same store, and the Lord moved like this. Now, I don't go around looking for people like this. Now, if you've got that calling, the Bible's very clear to go to the highways and the byways and go out. So there's nothing wrong with that if God's put that in your heart, because each of us are called to do what God has for us to do. Because the highways and the byways can also include the nicer neighborhoods,